This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
It's Mike Shope.
Last night at 12:30 in the morning, I ate a can of mushrooms. I did. Pieces and stems, if you're wondering. As opposed to buttons, it was pieces and stems, which will be my next year's fantasy football team name.
Pieces and stems.
Pieces and stems.
And the Bulldog.
I should be ashamed to admit this publicly, but whatever. How long have we been doing this? I'm a junkie. I can't be trusted.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
The Khalil Shakir contract brought on a conversation today just about, we've often had it, how much urgency the Bills should feel about their offense. Defensively, I think most people, including the Bills, probably themselves, can see it. Interior defensive line, the draft seems right for it. This or that in the secondary, you know, the defense struggled down the stretch.
Yeah, edge even, yeah, sure.
Edge. Offense, it was always kind of a riddle to me, all the way to the end. I mentioned to Sal earlier, are we going to remember, is it going to line up for us over time? What Josh Allen's, if he wins just the one, say if, what Josh Allen's MVP season was. What will we remember it for? A couple of spectacular plays. He's always done that. It won't be easy, I think, in years to come to necessarily remember which plays were in which season. So there's that. I think we'll remember that Diggs was gone for it. Mm-hmm. Because that was so prominent in the analysis the whole time.
I don't think anything is impossible to forget, but I feel like that is as close as I could come sports-wise. Like the connecting Diggs' departure with Allen, because it was a walking off point for so much of the conversation that we had about his candidacy being enhanced, and in the end, he won it. So I don't think I'll ever forget that Diggs left the team before he won the MVP.
But somebody is going to be in a bar in Baltimore in 5 years, and they'll be arguing with a Ravens fan about Allen and Jackson, and the Ravens fan will say, well, Lamar has never had anybody as good as Stephon Diggs, and you'll be like, dude, he wasn't even on the team the year that Allen won. So,
and Mac Hollins led them in touchdown receptions, right? Sorry, I didn't mean to steal your—
but no, I mean, like,
I stole your thunder.
It's Mac Hollins leading the Bills in TD receptions this year when Allen won the award. I think it's already confusing, and it just happened. Like, here's Shakir getting $60 million, up to $60 million in this deal, and everybody likes him, and everybody likes it. It seems he didn't lead the team in touchdown catches. In fact, his not being more of a touchdown guy, and neither is Kincaid yet, and I don't know what Coleman is, but he's not exactly that yet. Is part of my confusion over just like how good the surrounding talent really is. on the Bills and talking on the occasion of this Shakir contract. You know, you sort of can get back into that here. Yep. There's a reason to do it.
And it can make you wonder how good it needs to be. If you can have the season you just had where you were the second highest scoring team in the league and your quarterback won MVP, like how much do you really need to dig in on making sure you've got more guys there?
That's right.
I mean, we are always going to be calling for more guys. And I think now especially, this is why, so as the days go by, the weeks go by, and these events happen, and we hear from the team, right? It was notable a few weeks ago when the season ended and Bean and McDermott took their turns talking and were sort of pointed in their criticism of Coleman. And that stood out to a lot of people, right? Like, you just don't often hear them be that direct about being feeling like they were, to an extent, if it's not unfair to characterize it this way, let down by what his season ended up being, and in particular after the injury. Because I think, like a lot of us out here, they might have thought he was tracking really well. And that, I think, enhances the letdown because it didn't continue. He didn't pick up where he left off when he was healthy enough to get back on the field. And so you hear that, and then you hear it again this week from McDermott in particular yesterday. And I'm left over here going, like, sure, like, look, I'm not done with the player, and I'm not at all trying to imply that they are because they're being public with some critique of him. But it does call into question, for me anyway, how much I want to count on him, right? That doesn't feel like a bankable thing. It I don't know, it's not quite a starting over because he knows everyone and knows the system and will have an off season to demonstrate to them that, you know, he got the message and he can show up here and you know, do more of what they need him to do or want him to do. But either way, like, that's flying blindly into a season. If you don't do something significant here, I want to be careful with significant, because significant doesn't have to mean a $29 or $30 million receiver. But it's called for. I mean, it was called for before Coleman got hurt. Before Coleman ever got criticized, they felt they needed a guy, and they went and got Cooper. And even though that didn't smash, they felt the need for it. And now I've got Coleman in question, at least from them. Boy, that to me has to enhance the need to get another guy there, whether that is a draft asset on Friday of the draft. I highly doubt it would be the first round, but maybe as soon as Friday you got to do that, or you got to dip into free agency or the trade market and see if you can find somebody, or you can just convince yourself that re-signing Amari Cooper at some reasonable rate is a good idea, which to me is like my last choice of everything that I just said might be available to them. But it is still a choice they could end up on. But it's, yeah, you know, I guess, I'm sorry, I'm throwing coal into the engine of the wide receiver train here, because it doesn't feel that different from last year all of a sudden. They didn't, you know, part ways with Diggs, which of course led to the Coleman pick. But if the Coleman pick is sort of, we're not sure what we can count on, holy cow, you better find me a guy.
803-0550, here's Dan with us. Hi, Dan.
Hey, guys, thanks for the call. I just on a Shakir note, I love the player, and I think I'm not surprised at all to hear this news today. I think he fits with the culture and with what the Bills want to do. But it just made me think, as I'm listening to you guys, about how important I'm thinking Bean values our offensive line and the faith that has been put in those guys, and rightfully so. Just when I reflect on this year, I mean, Josh is MVP. He deserved that. But that O-line as well, give those guys their flowers. They are, I think, a huge reason why Josh was the MVP and got so many rushing touchdowns, those tush pushes or whatever you call them. The guys up front have to do that. They make Cook look good, and they also cover up those deficiencies with receiver. I don't know what we're going to do as far as receiver goes moving forward, but I think it just, you know, I reflect on how great that offensive line was. Dawkins, what a player he is. Overall, I just wonder if they double down and they think that that's a main strength and they bolster that in the draft too. I could see that being surprising to me, but I wouldn't be surprised if Bean did it. So that was just a thought I had when we think about maybe where the league is going with shifting more towards the running game and big man football, and we talk about the line needs on the other side of the ball on defense, but that offensive line just, I think they're such a strength and they cover up that wide receiver deficiency, and I wonder where that factors into the overall equation this offseason.
Yeah, thanks. I mean, I think the number one thing is like nobody ever missed a game, really.
And it really 2 years running.
That can throw your whole thing off if you've got two big injuries up front, say, and you're always moving guys around or something. But
I would never want to say never to them drafting guys that they you know, fit the profile, and you know, especially if one of them's a wrestler or former wrestler.
Talk slower.
I don't need to get cute. I could see them drafting somebody on Saturday, an interior guy, whatever, a swing guy. But I think really, think about if you read Sal's piece about the offensive line, they might be as close to all set at that position overall, all three spots, the two guard spots, the center, and the two tackles. Like the primary backups are under contract, and those guys are all still, like Dawkins is the senior member of that group. I think he's older than everyone else there. And he's still, to me, in his prime, maybe at the back end of his prime, but still his prime. I don't have any urgency to spend a top four-round pick on offensive line right now. They've got good depth. When Brown missed.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
The Vandermark stepped in and did well. I don't think there's much to be done there at all.
Yeah, that seems right.
Because even if you worry about 2 years in a row where you had minimal injuries, really, the year before, none, and then this year, again, Brown missed one game or part of one game. You've got the depth pieces in place. So I don't know where there's a pathway, unless for some reason they really don't like the way Cedric Van Pan Granger worked all year as a depth piece or something. And when he got into play against New England, just looked overmatched, and they feel like they need to get another guy that can play center because they don't trust him or something. I mean, if they like the guys they've got, everybody is young enough and still here. So I don't think there's any priority there. So to the caller's point, that would stun me if that happened. If they spent something before late Saturday on any kind of offensive lineman.
Thanks, Dan. Thinking again about what you might forget, not connect with Allen's MVP season. Like we talked about Mac Hollins leading them in receiving touchdowns. The fact that it's only five is kind of amazing by itself, that five would lead the team on a team that had the quarterback win the MVP.
Yep.
Allen's rushing does, you know, mitigate this, because always with him, his rushing prowess adds to his profile. He doesn't win the MVP without it. Of course, the guy he beat has his own rushing prowess. But I think Mac Hollins would be trivia. Wow, really? That was the guy? I don't even remember him. It'll be like that. Kind of the way Bill Brooks, the 1 year for the Bills, led them. Like, yes. Did he set the franchise record in touchdown catches?
Yes.
Not Reed. On a team Reed was on. So something like that. I think the really fun one will be that Cook tied the franchise record in rushing touchdowns.
Yeah, when you started, that was what I didn't know if you, that was where you were going to end up, but I was waiting to chime in with that. Like, that's also incredible.
It is. That you had, he tied for the league lead with 16 rushing touchdowns and tied the franchise record, and the quarterback won the MVP. How does this team not get to a Super Bowl, you know? But don't answer that. Rhetorical. Don't answer that. Or do.
Right. And Allen had 12 rushing touchdowns himself.
Right. That always goes with like the Allen profile. Like, you know that, at least. So the other stats can be confusing, maybe.
Yeah, I think this is the Cook point, I think, is a good one. Not because I thought of it before you even said it, but it is kind of similar to, like, Allen won the MVP over Jackson. Oh, he must have had a pile of rushing touchdowns. Well, he did kind of, but actually a guy on his own team had more. And you probably wouldn't think, 5 years from now, you wouldn't, that might even surprise me, 5 years from now. Like, I don't think I'll ever forget that Diggs departed, and then Allen had that season, and he won the MVP. But Cook having four more rushing touchdowns than Allen's 12, which is a healthy number on its own, is pretty eye-opening.
And Baltimore doesn't really, like Jackson winning the year before, it's not that different. So Hollins led the Bills with five receiving touchdowns. In 2023, Andrews led the Ravens with six. And what did Jackson do on the ground? Another 800-plus yards, five touchdowns. He's never been like a big touchdown scorer.
Right.
Not compared with Allen or like Hurts. So two other Bills in history have won this award. Thurman Thomas in 91 when Kelly finished second. And OJ in the 2,000-yard season. But it's not exactly like you have Joe Ferguson lighting up defenses and then O.J. just piling in. I mean, in 1973, when O.J. Simpson broke the 2,000-yard barrier and won the MVP for the season, and he started every game, Joe Ferguson threw for four touchdowns. Let that sink in.
That is amazing. They weren't a good team.
They were 9-5. They were 9-5.
Okay, that's better than I thought, even.
Yeah. 14 games. 3 to Chandler. 1 to Larry Watkins. We'll never forget it. That I did forget. 1 to Larry Watkins.
Sure.
Who was Larry Watkins? I know I've heard the name. Fullback.
Get out of here.
Yeah.
Braxton wasn't the fullback on that team in 73?
Well, he was on the team,
okay.
But
all right.
He's listed as running back.
Okay.
He had that in his contract.
Wow, they had two fullbacks.
Larry Watkins, I mean, they probably had three in the backfield a lot.
I don't remember seeing three in the backfield a lot. I remember seeing them in the eye a lot with Braxton in front of OJ.
All right.
Frequently.
Larry Watkins, has he ever led the charge? He's still alive.
Well, still,
have they ever thought about
there's
that?
There's still time.
He's one of two players to catch a touchdown pass for the Bills in their historic 1973 season. I think we missed an opportunity when it was the 50 years. If we maybe they did it. I don't remember this happening. Maybe they did honor Larry Watkins.
Yeah, I don't remember.
He played for a number of teams.
I'm so surprised that team ended up 9-5, honestly.
Are you?
Yeah.
They won their last four.
Yeah.
The next year was the playoff year.
Right.
That would have been a 9-5 or 10-4 team. And the 75 team was the one that set all the like scoring records, but they didn't make it. They fell apart kind of, 75. That was like a – I'm not like prepared to go to court with this. But like, I remember that OJ's year was like maybe even better than in 73.
In 75?
Yes.
Hmm.
1,800 yards, right?
I don't remember. I know he was still very good for a while. It wasn't like he just, you know, had 2003 and 73 and then disappeared.
18, 17, and 16 touchdowns, the record, that's the year that set the record, Cook tied, mm-hmm. 75. And then seven more receiving, 23 combined touchdowns. Tomlinson stuff, or Tomlinson had OJ stuff. Seven receiving touchdowns, yeah. Not bad. Not many people will. Larry King would tell you he was pretty good.
We had to do
maybe.
That.
I did mention OJ in that Larry King segment.
We had to do that again.
But that was for the
you
murders.
Did, it was, yeah, right. It wasn't football related.
That wasn't football related.
Yeah, no.
Jerry is with us. Hello.
You know, I have toyed with. You mentioned how set up they really are on offense, with the offensive line being very deep, the tight ends. I would love for them to answer maybe the defense with volume. You know, take a wide receiver with that first pick and then make the other nine picks in the draft all defense. You only have to hit on three or four of them for it to be really impactful draft on that side of the ball. Answer with volume. There doesn't seem to be a lot of need on offense at all.
I like the logic. I like the logic. I read today that the Falcons have their number was 45. I'm not sure this is every team. Like, this is the number of interviews you can have
mm-hmm.
at the combine. And so they booked 45 players for interviews, and they're all defensive players. And that their offensive coaches aren't even going.
Oh, this is the old okey-doke. They're going to draft a ton of offense.
They're going to draft another quarterback. They're going to draft Milroe.
It's smokescreen season here.
To go with Penix and Cousins.
I'm going to play them both at the same time.
Yes.
Milroe will be like a hybrid quarterback, running back type player.
I mean, it could be a smokescreen, but it's kind of a stupid one.
Yeah.
Imagine, this is a bad look. It's funny. Your entire combine focus is only defense, and you're just advertising that. But you know, if your offense is bad, or if you do pick a offensive player, they'll be like, "How did you work him out?" Or
right.
I mean, I'm not. Having said that, I'm a guy who doesn't believe in the interviews. I think the interviews just confirm your biases, and I think it's a better world if we stopped interviewing candidates. Just like what does the record show, and then let's not take something probably meaningless from a comment or what they put on their salad or something they did when they were in high school into the equation when we're trying to figure out if they can play in the league, that kind of stuff. I think that does you more harm than good. But I want to keep this job. And I'm going to the combine, and I'm only going to interview defensive players and not even bother to send my off. It's not even like they're in Hawaii or something. They're in Atlanta going to Indy. You just for appearances. You throw the yeah. assistant running backs coach into the bus for this thing. What about my shrimp cocktail? I'm an offensive coordinator.
Right.
I don't even get to go to the combine. Oh, you can pay your own, but I don't even get an invite.
That's tough.
That is tough. You're Falcons.
And you are, oh.
I'll give you that another F word. I won't forget. We'll do that next.
You've said forget and Falcons during this segment.
Those are
both times I thought, were those your F word?
I can be sneaky. I'm not Joe, but I have another one yet. Hmm. Sabres pregame at 6. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.